I assume he's still in the hospital, is that right? Okay. I hadn't heard anything since, I think, yesterday morning. So, anyway, we need to pray for him. And those motorcycles, that's some risky business there. But praise the Lord, he was okay through that accident. So let's remember him in prayer this morning, as well as our church family that's over in Israel today. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning that we can gather together. We thank you for this class. And Lord, we have many needs this morning, Lord, a few that we mentioned already. We pray for Pastor Ryan, and we pray for a swift recovery for him. Lord, we thank you that he's still with us. And Lord, could have been much worse. We thank you, Lord, that he's doing all right. And I pray you be with his wife and girls, that you give them strength through this time. Certainly not an easy thing for them as well. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give them a special peace through this time, and that you would provide for them through this, Lord. I pray for our pastor and the group that is over in Israel. I pray that you give them safety. And Lord, I pray that it would be a wonderful experience for them in walking the ground that you walked, Lord. And I pray that you'd bless their trip over there, give them safety while they're there, and as they return home, be with Pastor Morris as he's gone. I pray that you give him a relaxing time and as he's away. We all need that every once in a while, and I pray that you bless him, bring him back to us safely as well. And Lord, there's so many other needs in our church, Lord, that different things, different needs, different concerns that we have, Lord. It's very real to us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to trust in you. And I pray, Lord, that you guide us through the things that we are going through, Lord, even the things that nobody else knows about that we deal with, Lord, and the struggles that we have. And Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the peace that you bring to our lives. I pray you bless this morning as we look into your word, and give me the right words to speak, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, Galatians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter 4. I'll let you in on a little secret. When I stand up here without glasses on, I can't see your faces. And when I was in college, I learned that if I was really nervous about getting up to speak, I would not wear glasses, because I couldn't tell what anybody's reaction was, what their face would look like. And so I'm going to wear my glasses, okay? But I had a guy one time, I was talking with him, and I told him, I let him in my little secret. Said if I was going to preach on something controversial, I don't wear my glasses, because then I don't worry about what anybody's face looks like through it, you know? I don't know why I told you that, but I just felt like telling you that. So Galatians chapter 4, we're going to look at Paul's writing to the church at Galatia, and he's talking to them about their service to God. And actually, more so than that, more in the beginning of it, he's talking about the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And we do have freedom in Christ, amen? We absolutely do. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But the church at Galatia was a little confused over some of the issues regarding service. And so we're going to talk about service this morning, okay? Serving the Lord, serving in your church, serving others, loving your neighbor as yourself, that sort of thing. How does that play out in life, and how does that tie in with the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ? Because the church here actually was struggling with this a little bit, and I would actually submit to you this morning that sometimes we struggle with this a little bit too, okay? And so we'll dig into that a little bit. We hear it said around here a lot. In fact, I think every church that I've been a part of, we've heard it said that we must be diligently serving the Lord. And that's true, isn't it? We ought to be diligently serving the Lord. We ought to be faithful Christians, faithful church members. Amen? But that kind of looks different for different people, doesn't it? Because there's a lot of things that play into how we serve and what we do in our service and the manner of which we can serve, there's things that play into that, isn't there? As you get older, there's certain things that are not so easy to do anymore. The stage of life that you're in changes, and you can't do things that you once did. I love the church bus ministry. Love it. Did it for years. Did it through high school. Did it through college. We attended a church for a while where we started a bus ministry there and got it off the ground and got things moving with it. Absolutely loved it. And then we started having babies. And when you have three babies, it's very difficult to get up on a Sunday morning and get to church and get on a church bus and pick up a bunch of kids that are wild and crazy and excited and then try to get to church. Meanwhile, you've got three babies and all the needs that they have. That's very difficult. Sometimes the stage of life you're in changes how you have to serve. So we could talk about all kinds of different ways that we serve. And I think in a class this size, in a room this big, it makes it very difficult to have, you know, open discussion. I've taught classes before consistently where we had a small group, and it was really fun to have big open discussion. The problem in this room is I can't hear what you say. You know, last week, it was kind of interesting last week, wasn't it? We weren't sure who was going to teach, and you know, Mr. Bradburn got up, and he was leading some songs, and then Miss Becky got up, and then I came up here, and then finally we got our evangelist, right? And so it was a little tricky, and I decided, well, we'll stall for a little bit and do testimonies. And I opened it up to the floor, and some of you gave testimony. I have no idea what you said. Okay, I could not hear. And so it makes it difficult for that. And I looked around, people around, the person who gave a testimony were smiling and saying amen. And so, you know, we just kind of, yeah, well, amen, you know. And I assume it was good. I hope it was good. Okay. So it makes it hard to have open discussion. But I think if we did, we could come up with a very long list of ways by which we can serve each other and serve in the church, right? Okay. I think we could come up with a very, very long list. And it would look different for different people, I think. We could also ask the question, why should we serve? And the reason I pose that question today, it should be obvious, and I think, honestly, for those who've been in church for decades and decades, I think it is a little more obvious, but you know something? There's something about my generation and the one that is after us. And by the way, don't look at the teenagers and group them in with us millennials, okay? They're a different generation than we are, okay? What do they call them? The information agers or something like that? They have something for them, okay? But I was born in the 1980s, and so I'm a millennial, okay? And what I found is with my generation, and more so with the next generation, there's the question being posed constantly, why should we serve? Why should we care? And you know something? Our American culture kind of promotes that a little bit, doesn't it? If you want to go make something for yourself in the United States of America, you can. It's going to take a lot of determination and a lot of work, but we live in the best country in the world to go and try and be successful from, you know, a business standpoint, don't we? We absolutely do. And that has been so ingrained into our culture that I think it has actually kind of snuck into our church a little bit. Not necessarily our church, I'm saying churches, okay? To where, you pass a car accident or something and you look at that and you say, well, that's really rough for them. Boy, I hope they're okay, and you maybe have some concern, but it doesn't really bother you that much, maybe. You find out about somebody else who's sick, and you think, well, we should pray for that person, but sometimes that's as far as it goes, if it even goes that far. And the Bible talks about serving each other in love, and it goes beyond just making a quick comment or saying a quick prayer, doesn't it? We're going to look at a little bit more of that here in the book of Galatians in just a second, but I want to pose the question, why do you serve? Why do you serve? Why do you serve God? Why do you serve people? What's the underlying motive, the reason by which you serve? Now, I don't want you to think, well, great. We've got this young guy born in the 1980s. Some of you, I know, I'm young, very young compared to some of you, okay? And so I don't want you to think, well, we've got this young, enthusiastic preacher. He's up here, and he's going to come and try and guilt trip all of us old folks into being, you know, serving in all these capacities, thinking we have all the same energy he has and all the same enthusiasm he has, okay? That's not what today's about, okay? That's not what it's about. I'm asking you a question. Why do you serve? And how you serve looks different from how I serve and how somebody else serves. We all have different functions within the body of Christ, but I'm asking you specifically, why do you serve? Okay? Here's another couple questions that go along with it. Will God be disappointed in you if you just don't? We do have a free will, don't we? There's freedom in Christ, isn't there? And so we have a free will to choose whether or not we be involved in some form of service or not. We have a free will, don't we? God does accept us and saves us just as we are. Is it really necessary that we go beyond that? Why is it important that we serve? Does it make us any more spiritual? Do we somehow gain more favor of God or more of God's love and grace if we serve versus if we don't serve? After all, we have freedom in Christ, don't we? Galatians chapter 4, let's look at the Bible here a little bit, and let's kind of dive into this and look at this a little bit more. Galatians chapter 4, look at the very last part of the chapter, in verse number 30. Paul here is addressing, he's talking about the bondwoman and the free woman. This is going all the way back to Abraham, okay? And if you read in verse 24, this is an allegory. This is allegorical. This is painting a picture, so to speak, of your freedom in Christ versus when you were without Christ, okay? And so in verse 30, it says, "Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." So if you know Christ as your Savior, you have some freedom. Look on verse 1 of chapter 5. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Woo, there it is. We have freedom in Jesus Christ, right? We do. And there is great freedom in Jesus Christ. We are free from the bondage of sin. We're free from the curse of sin. Praise God for that. Amen? We're free from that. We are free from the punishment of sin. We're free from the guilt of sin. We are free from the bondage of fear. You know something? I work with a lot of guys that don't know Christ, and I have to tell you, by the conversations I have with them, when we start to talk about life and open up a little bit more personally, the conversations I have with them, it is nothing but fear. Constant fear of the unknown, and what's going to happen, and what happens when we die, and what's going to happen if I get sick, and what's going to happen if I lose my job. There's constant fear in their life. Can I tell you something? You're set free from the bondage of fear through Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise God for that. You have a burden lifted off of you that so many people struggle with every single day. That's their reality. But we're free from the bondage of fear. We're free from the works of the law. Aren't you so glad of that? Have you ever read the Old Testament law? I assume you have. If you haven't, you should. And then thank God we don't have to do all of those things. Okay? There's some pretty interesting ones. You read through Leviticus? Wow. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, of how that applies to us today. But we're free from the works of the law. The church in Galatia here had some issues with that, though, because they had come to know Christ as their Savior. They were the church, right? They had trusted in what Christ had done, but there were some there who could not let go of the works of the law. Because for so many years, they had, I mean, literally thousands of years and generations of people, they offered sacrifices. Circumcision was a huge thing in the Jewish religion, and there, well, it still is today, but I'm saying before Christ and under the Old Covenant, okay, that meant something. That, and all that's changing. There's all these cleansings and things that had to take place before Christ came that now we don't have to do that anymore. Thank you, Lord. Because there would be some of it. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot. Read the Old Testament sometime, okay? We're free from the works of the law. This church struggled with that a little bit in two different ways. And I have to say to you today that if I was a part of that church, I would struggle with it too. I would. You know why? Because I get stuck in my ways. I'm very stubborn that way, by the way. I really am. I get stuck in my ways. And, you know, I have a lot of opinions, okay? I have a lot of things that I believe about certain things that maybe other people, you know, not necessarily big doctrinal things, but there's little things here and there that, you know, if all of a sudden one day somebody came and said, none of that matters anymore, you have freedom in Christ, I guarantee you I'd be one of the people going, well, yeah, we have freedom in Christ. My salvation is sealed until the day of redemption. Praise God. But we do need to make sure that we do these things also, because we've been doing them for so many years. And we need to keep the flock of sheep going because we're going to need sacrifices. And, well, you know how, okay, you know in our culture today, have you ever prayed the just-in-case prayer? Well, I don't know if I'm saved. You know, I just committed that sin. I don't really feel saved. And I don't know, maybe I didn't mean it back then. And I don't know, I'm just going to go ahead and pray again. The just in case I didn't mean it then kind of prayer. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Do you think that there were just in case sacrifices that happened? Well, I think so. Okay? And I probably would have been right along with those people thinking, yeah, you know, because, I mean, for thousands of years, this was how they worshiped God and showed their faith and revealed their faith, and now we don't have to do it. So we're free in Christ. Many of the Jews struggled with this. They trusted in Christ, but also we still do these things. So the question then, why do we serve? Do we really need to serve then if we have freedom in Christ? Do we have to serve for any personal gain? Is there any personal benefit to serving? Well, can I say this to you? By definition, no. Because service isn't about your personal gain, is it? Or it shouldn't be. But here's another area where sometimes we cross the lines a little bit. We'll talk about that in just a second too. Let's look at some more verses here. Let's read on a little bit more. Let's go down to verse number 13. The Bible says this, Paul says this, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." There it is again. "Only," uh-oh, here we go, "use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Yep, we're free. We have freedom in Christ, and we have wonderful freedom in Christ. But freedom comes with responsibility, doesn't it? By the way, I'll say this morning as well, not just talking about spiritual matters, all freedom comes with responsibility. All freedom does. Here in America, we have freedoms. We fear that they may be lost. And by the way, they will be lost if we're not responsible with them. All freedom has responsibility. We were just talking about this with our children. The Jenkins had the abortion table that was back there. during VBS week. By the way, you wouldn't believe how many kids were talking about that over the week. Many kids. That left a very big impact, I think, on a lot of them in talking about abortion, because we have kids that at a very young age learn about abortion. And for them to see the display that was set out there, and by the way, it was very, it stirs you a little bit, even as an adult, to see that, doesn't it? It absolutely does. But it was interesting to hear the kids talking about that all week long during Vacation Bible School. That was a blessing. I hope that we can have something like that again with the kids. And my own kids talked about that. And we hear people talk about, in our culture today, well, the freedom that a woman has to choose. First of all, you know what we believe about that. We believe that's not true. Okay, we believe that life begins at conception. And to take the life of an unborn child is murder. Okay? Plain and simple. And but we like to, in this country, and I'm not saying us, but there are many in this country, and I see it on the news all the time. That's why I actually don't really watch the news anymore, but at our workplace, we have updates that come up constantly. It's very annoying, but we see this stuff about, well, we have freedom to make decisions like that. We have freedom to do this. We have freedom to do that. And you fill in the blank. That's just one of the things. Can I tell you something? There may be some man-given freedoms, okay? Not necessarily God-given freedoms. Things that we permit in this country that are very, very wrong. And there are things that God has given us the freedom to do that we ignore. And there are things that, with all freedom, you have responsibility still. You have responsibility for your actions within the freedom that you are given. Okay? Anyway, it's very interesting, some of the conversations we had this last week in Vacation Bible School in regards to that. Here's a couple of quotes that I came across in studying. One of them is this: freedom from sin does not mean freedom from responsibility. Our liberty in Christ does not give us a license to sin or to sit idle in life. We have a responsibility then to serve each other and to serve God. And the underlying reason why we do all of that, we just read it in the text, is one word. Anybody know? Love. We just read it. To love one another. To serve one another in love. Say, we have a responsibility in Christ. In fact, Christ even says, all the Old Testament law hinges upon this one thing, loving God and loving others. You say, well, we're free in Christ. Yes, we are, but we're not free from the responsibility to love each other. Well, that's all we have to do is love? Yeah, but it's not always that easy, is it? Sometimes it's very difficult, okay? How many of you... okay, I'm going to do it. How many of you would say, I love the people of Faith Baptist Church? Okay. How many of you would say, I like every individual that comes to Faith Baptist Church? Oh, there is some hesitation. Just a little bit. Okay. Can I tell you something? God loves us. And God likes us. He doesn't always like what we do. By the way, I understand sometimes there are some personalities that don't just not click, they repel each other, okay? I understand that, okay? And guilty, okay? I'll just raise my hand for that as well. But isn't it amazing? God created us all uniquely us, and He made us uniquely us with our own personality and our own talents and our own abilities and our own resources and all this kind of stuff. God made us for a specific plan and purpose, and He likes us. Sometimes I don't like myself, okay? But God likes us, and He loves us so much that He sent Christ to die for us, amen? Praise God for that. If He can do that for somebody like me and somebody like you, don't you think that we ought to try to get along with each other too and love each other and serve each other and, yes, even try to like each other? Thankfully, this has not been a church that is just filled with conflict. Have you ever been in a church filled with conflict? Whew. Once upon a time, I could tell you some stories. Wow. Okay. Places I've been that just, oh, wow. Okay. We are to love each other. Love is the reason why we serve, and any other reason is not really a biblical reason. Uh-oh, now we're gonna hit home here a little bit, because here's some common reasons why people serve that are actually not right reasons. Okay? And we'll talk about this a little bit. I understand that there's different things that play into this, and there's different scenarios, okay? But the underlying reason why anybody should serve within the church is love. Amen? Are we in agreement with that? Okay, it's absolutely through love. However, there's some reasons why people serve that are wrong reasons. Actually, some of them sound pretty good. Okay, now, I'm not trying to scare people off from service either, okay? Don't think that. Don't think, well, I'm not doing it right, so I might as well throw in the towel, okay? All right, it's not about that. It's about changing, maybe, why we do what we do. And it may mean changing what we do, okay? And so, how about this? To gain the approval of other people. Say, well, I don't know. Do we really do that? Oh, yes, we do. Have you ever been the new person at the church? You just joined. All right, family. We've got to hit the ground running. We've got to get involved in ministries. They've got to know what our talents are. They've got to know what we can do. They've got to know what we are involved in. They need to know the kids are homeschooled. They need to know. They need to be in the teen group. And yes, get them on the Bible quiz team right away. And oh, also, yes, put them in Awana. Get them, yep, buy everything we need to get for them. We want to put our best foot forward at this new fabulous church that we're at with our beautiful, fabulous family that is just so perfect. You know something? We're all guilty of that at different times in our life, aren't we? We absolutely are. We like to put our best foot forward. And that's not necessarily a bad thing to do. However, your reasons for getting involved and your reasons for serving and loving each other, it all ought to be out of love, right? Not based on the approval of other people. This is also very common when a guilt trip is put on somebody for not serving in a specific capacity. Well, we have this position available. We have this, you know, we need help with this. Well, you're not going to do it? Well, we really need somebody. If you don't do it, I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, I guess we'll just have to try and find somebody else. And then finally, that person just goes, well, okay, fine, I'll do it. Not really the right motivation to serve, is it? Not really the right way to motivate somebody to serve either, okay? I get that too. Have you ever heard conversation? Well, it'd be nice if we had more help. You know, there's that one family, and but they're not here that much. I think their kids are involved in sports or something, and they hardly ever make it. And I don't know. I don't even know that they really know that much about the word. And let me ask you something. For one thing, it's not building that person up. But I think sometimes the motivation behind conversations like that is to build yourself up, to look better than somebody else. I'll be honest, I've been guilty of that too. This passage here is talking about serving each other in the church here. But however, may I also say to you this, service is not just limited to the walls of our church building. We had, earlier this year, my wife had some health problems. And for about a two-week period or so, she was in an awful lot of pain. We had some doctor visits and things like that and kind of figured out what was going on. But for about 2 weeks, I was doing just about everything. And how many gentlemen know when the wife is down, we're all down, okay? It's hard, okay? There was a young family in our church. They still come here. I won't say their names or embarrass them, but there was a family in our church that had heard about it. and sent us a text message and said, hey, we're going to bring you guys some food. I thought, oh, wow. And you know, there's kind of that moment where you feel like, I don't need people to help me. I don't, you know, we got this. It's okay. You almost feel a little uneasy to have somebody serve you, right? That's another aspect of service that sometimes we struggle with. But really, the reality was, yeah, we kind of need it, you know? And so they came, they brought us food, enough for like 2 days. They brought us, you know, some like juice and things like that too. We never get dessert. I mean, like, we make dessert every once in a while, but, you know, when we go out or something, we don't buy dessert. It costs too much, okay? But they brought us a huge dessert from a restaurant. Wow! And then here was the one that I got a little emotional over. They brought a stack of paper plates about this tall and said, this is so you don't have to wash dishes. Now, we kind of chuckle and laugh because you understand that, but you know something in the moment when somebody, when you are being served by somebody, tugs on the strings of the heart a little bit, doesn't it? Paper plates tugs on the strings of the heart a little bit. They didn't look for, this family didn't look for any kind of praise or any kind of recognition, nothing like that. They didn't do it to try and make a show of it. They did it out of love. And we are to serve out of love. We're not to serve to gain others' approval, trying to make a show of it. How about this? We're not supposed to serve to try and gain the love of God. Now, I do a fair amount of counseling, one of the things I hear a lot is this. I need to get active in the church because I've lived like this for so long and I don't want God to judge me for these actions, so I need to make up for it. Now, these are people that I've talked to that have trusted in Christ. They've trusted in Jesus Christ. They know Christ as their Savior. They could give you a Bible reason why they know when they die, they will stand before God, justified, redeemed. They will enter into heaven. They know Jesus Christ as their Savior. However, because of a life of past mistakes or past sins, somehow there's this feeling of a need to serve in order to make up for those things. Can I tell you something? The moment you trusted in Christ, you received all of His forgiveness, all of His love, all of His approval, and you can't gain any more or lose any less of God's love through the things that you do. And thank God for that. It's not what we receive from God that changes, but oftentimes it's what we give or don't give to God that changes, isn't it? It's us that have the problem, okay? Have you ever thought this? What's God going to think if I don't do this ministry? I've thought that before. Well, God's going to remove His blessing from my home if I say no to this. I think God's going to love you just the same no matter what you choose. It's not so much the issue of what God's going to do. It's more a matter of how are you loving God and loving people? The church in Galatia, they struggled with this a little bit because on the flip side, there were also those that just said, well, we're free in Christ. We don't have to do anything. And Paul says, no, you have responsibility in your freedom. You need to love God and love people. You have a responsibility to do that. You don't need to do the works of the law any longer to receive God's grace and God's mercy. You don't have to do those things. You already have the full love of God. But it is not a license to just do what you want to do. How about this? Well, it's tradition. Generations before me have served in this way, and so I must serve in this way too. We have, and I'm not trying to say this about any particular person. I have nobody in mind, okay? Just let me put it that way. But there's a lot of people at this church that have served in the same capacity since I was little at this church. And praise God for their faithfulness, okay? It's interesting. Some of the Awana leaders that work in Awana are the same Awana leaders over 20 years ago when I was a kid in Awana. And so there certainly is, there's a need there, okay? But we don't just serve because we always have served in that way or because our family has always served in that way, and we've always done that, and so we'll just keep doing it. It's easy sometimes for us to get in a mode where it's just so automatic that we leave out love. Sometimes we hold on to tradition so much that in reality there's actually somebody out there who's eager to do that position or that ministry in a spirit of love. And there's a whole other message. In fact, this is part one of a service series, okay? And part two, we'll get into that next week. This will be a part three about passing on the torch. That's not an easy thing. You know, we don't like to think about it, but one day, let me ask this. How many of you have been at a church before? You knew the pastor for, let's just say he was your pastor for 10 years or more, and then one day he wasn't. Yeah. Okay, and it could be for any number of reasons. He could die, he could get too old, he could have some health issues. Okay, he may step down, he may move on to another ministry, okay? I'm not saying there's all just bad reasons for it, okay? But you know that at some point, there's a passing on of the torch to somebody else. That can be very hard to deal with. You know, there's a lot of elderly folks in this room, I think it's fair to say. Chances are we never know what will happen, but chances are you won't see a day when Pastor Monty is not the pastor here. Okay? But chances are my generation will one day. Pretty humbling. Okay? Pretty humbling thought. And there's a right way to pass on the torch, and so that's a whole nother lesson. That's a hard thing to deal with sometimes. A lot of times, actually. And then there's other reasons why people serve. If I don't do this, nobody else will. Okay, and it's okay to fill a need if you see a need. Maybe it's something you're not good at, but out of love and say, yes, I'll step up and do this until somebody else can do it. But to just say I have to because I was asked to, that's not a real good motivation. Okay? Listen, God doesn't have for us to be frustrated or hate how we serve or hate how we the things that we do and the means by which we love people. He doesn't have for us to be frustrated in our service to Him. Okay? Although sometimes, if you ever worked in Awana, it could be some frustration there sometimes, right? Depending on how the kids are that night. I understand that. But all that aside, I'm saying this. If you feel stuck in a ministry, then maybe that's not the ministry you should be in. Maybe there's another way in which you can serve inside the walls of the church or outside the walls of the church. Maybe there's something else that is more fulfilling to you that God has designed you to be able to do better than what you're doing now. Okay, I don't know what it will look like for you, but I know this, we're all supposed to be serving in some capacity or another. While there's still life in our bodies, there's still breath in our lungs, we are to be loving people. You ever heard the people say, well, I'm just burnt out? Just feel burnt out. You know, it's interesting, when I go to work, people say, I'm worn out, man, I'm just tired, I'm getting kind of tired of this. But no, we Baptists, we go all dramatic. We are burnt out, right? There's no more flame left, there's not even an ember, the smoke has cleared, we're burnt out, okay? And I understand the feeling of that sometimes, but maybe it's time to try some new way of service to people. Maybe it's time to take a little break. Even Christ took breaks. Did you know that? Multiple times, he departs alone into a mountain to pray. Just be away. Okay? Maybe you have to come to the agreement with yourself that you're no longer able to keep doing that particular ministry. That's a challenging one. That's a challenging one. We talked about that a little bit at the beginning, your age, your stage of life, health, energy, all that kind of stuff. Whatever your situation is, we are to run the race for Christ, loving people. And not only that, but actually along with that, Hebrews chapter 12, where it talks about running the race, it also says that we're supposed to run patiently. patiently. God knows our heart. He knows our desires. He knows the things that we can do and the things that we can't do. And so I don't know what service will look like for you. I didn't come up here and try to guilt you into signing up for Awana, okay, or teaching a Sunday school class. That's not the point. The question was this: why do you serve? Is it because you love people? We have freedom in Christ, yes. Paul tells the church at Galatia that we have freedom in Christ, but that freedom comes with the responsibility now to love each other. That could be a challenge. Christians should be the most kind and loving people on the face of the planet. Amen? When people see a Christian, they ought to see a servant. And it may look different for you than it does for me, but that's how we're designed. We all have different parts, we all play different roles in the body of Christ, don't we? We all have different talents and skills, and we need to love that about each other. And serve together, and serve each other, and serve our community. All for what reason? Done in love, right? Through Jesus Christ. All right, next week we'll pick this thought up a little bit more, and we'll talk about teaching service to others. How do you teach someone to love somebody? How do you teach them to love other people? That's kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? Okay, you can't force somebody to love to serve, so how do you teach that? How do you kind of pass that on? We'll talk about that a little bit. We'll go back to the Old Testament for that. There's some really fun stuff there we can look at for that, okay? But let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed for the morning service. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this chance that we have to gather together. Lord, we are not perfect people. And although it's easy for us to say we love each other, Lord, I think we could all admit there are areas in our life where we could do better. Myself included, Lord, and I pray that you would help us to love each other in the name of Christ. Help us to serve together, to love to serve together, to enjoy serving together. Lord, thank you that you have blessed us with a church, Lord, that although we're not perfect, Lord, our church is not filled with conflict. Our church is not filled with hate. Lord, I do see love here, and I pray, Lord, that will continue for generations to come. I pray, Lord, that we will love you and love others, and may that be shown through our lives, Father. Thank you for the freedom we have in Christ. Lord, may we use it to love people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.